We are in a series titled Easter, Let It Change You. It's a four-parter. Today is part three. The first week we covered how you view your past. Listen, Easter and the message of the death and resurrection of Christ can literally change the way we view our past. Last week we looked at how it can change our future, how we view it, what we can expect. And today we're going to talk about how you view your present. How you view your present. There's a verse in your notes, sermon listening guide, as well as I'll have Michelle put it up. Philippians 3:10, let's read it. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Spirituality is a personal thing. And God has a message to each of us that when we personally know Christ and the power of the resurrection, it can change our lives. If you're here this morning and you are in need of a change in some area of your life for the better, listen, the message today is for you. Paul says, I want to know it. I want to personally taste it, experience it, and believe it in some way, in the way that it'll just change me going forward. So as I mentioned, today, the title of the message is How You View Your Present. I'm going to take some thoughts from a book titled When Life Hurts by Jimmy Evans, and let me tell you his story. He just finished his fifth grade of school. He's a young man. And in between finishing fifth grade and going to sixth grade, the school district redrew the lines or the boundaries of who could go to a certain school. And Jimmy Evans tells this story. He was so looking forward to his sixth grade year, but he had to go to a different school. His parents tried to intervene and it didn't work, and he had to go to another school. And here's what he said. He said he could not get over the unfairness. All of his friends were going to the school he thought he was going to, but he had to go somewhere else. And so he had to deal with this thing of unfairness between the fifth and the sixth grade. He said in his book, his sixth grade year was the worst year of his life. Now, he's a kid. In this book, he goes on to talk about something called a pain pocket. A pain pocket. There's a definition in your notes, and I'll have Michelle put this up. Here's what it is. A pain pocket is something inside us where we deposit unprocessed hurts. I brought with me a pair of shorts today, regular shorts. They got two back pockets and two front pockets. And I'm going to pull the right front pocket out. You know, pockets are neat because we just put stuff in them. I mean, it could be change. It could be our keys. It could be our cell phone. We put stuff in our pockets. And it's very handy. I mean, it's great, you know, we have multiple pockets. But in this book, when he writes When Life Hurts, here's what he says. Everybody has an invisible pain pocket inside them. And what happens is, if we don't negotiate a hurt in life properly, and it's like unprocessed emotions that are just there, we dump it or deposit it or stuff it into the pain pocket. Now, it can start with one or two layers, but the older we get, the more crises we live through, and unless we deal with them properly, here's what happens. The pain pocket begins to fill up. There's a lot of layers to it, and there's hurt inside our hearts. So he calls it a pain pocket, where all these unprocessed hurts can accumulate. Now, if we go through a bad time or a tough time in life, sometimes we just get through it and we dismiss it, we negotiate it, we let it go. There's other ones that we get stuck in dealing with. Those are the ones that get deposited with unprocessed emotions that hang us up on the inside. And so today, as you think about your present, how you view it, I want to talk about our pain pocket. And specifically, four things that you and I can do to process hurt in the pain pocket that we may not have yet resolved. And so today, Easter, let it change you how you view your present. I hope when you leave here in about 20, 30 minutes or at the end of the service, you'll have a better insight of how to deal with the hurts in your pain pocket and what God wants to do for you if we let him be a part of it. Okay, let's get started. In your notes. So how do we process unprocessed hurts in our pain pocket? Number one, first thing we have to do is we have to name the pain. Name the pain. Read with me Ephesians 4:31 in your notes. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, this list is not all inclusive, but it's a good start. Now, here's what it does. It names certain kinds of emotions. And Paul is saying, listen, you need to get rid of them. You need to deal with them. Now, the problem is, oftentimes when we have a deep hurt in our life, we can't always get past it the way we want to. We get stuck. We're hung up. There's a deep hurt in our life. And what we do, we deposit it into the pain pocket. So the first step is to name it. Now, letters A, B, and C in your notes, I'm going to give you three examples that are probably common to everybody. Letter A, anger. Let's say you're here today and in your pain pocket, somebody betrayed you in the past, or maybe you made a decision that wasn't a good one and it resulted in a lot of personal pain, and you and I are angry with ourselves. Anger is just one of those common emotions that can build up inside of us. Letter B, unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness, we think of it as toward another person. And maybe somebody did you wrong, and you're still stuck or hung up in getting past it. It's in your pain pocket. There's another angle to this. Unforgiveness can be directed toward ourselves. You may be here today, you're not mad or angry with somebody else, you're mad at yourself. And you know what? It's been there for many years. As a matter of fact, you're angry. It could be a rage. In Jimmy Evans' book, he calls it aged anger. It just hangs around. And you can be unforgiving toward yourself. Letter C. How about condemnation? Now, that's a big word, but related to it is guilt and shame. It could be different things. But here's what often happens. Maybe there was a season of your life or something happened where you feel very ashamed about it. You feel guilty. Something in the past, but there's emotions in your pain pocket called condemnation that you are very uncomfortable to deal with. And they just sit there. And every once in a while, you'll see something on TV or you'll hear a story, and all of a sudden they come up and you feel it. Those are three examples. You just name the pain. Put a label on it and say, you know what, I feel this way. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. All right. That's point number one. Number two. The second thing we need to do to process these unprocessed hurts is to surrender it to God. We have to come to a place of surrendering it to him. Now, in your notes, I'm going to tell you three ways or three things not to do. I'm going to tell you three wrong ways, okay? Letter A. We medicate it. So what does that mean? People with deep pain in their life can medicate their pain. What do? It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be food. It could be sex. It could be pleasure. And they medicate to find relief from their pain. That's the wrong way to do it. Let her be. The second thing is some people motivate over it. Let me explain that. They are hurt deeply, so what they do is they become an overachiever to distract themselves from the pain they're feeling. And they go out and they push themselves hard. You may know people like that. They're overachievers, maybe for the wrong reason. They are literally motivating over or past their pain. Let her see. The third thing is some people meditate on it. They meditate on it. What does that mean? We get consumed by it. It literally becomes a centerpiece of our mind and our thoughts throughout the entire day. And if we get too focused on it, it can just consume us and we become, wow, emotionally fraught people. So these are three wrong ways to deal with it. Let me tell you the right way. Okay. Back of your sermon listening guide, read with me the verse, James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Circle the word submit. The word submit, listen, is to place under authority. In other words, if you have a pain or hurt in your hurt pocket, your pain pocket, we have to somehow surrender it unto God's authority. Put him in charge of it. Ask him for his help. Don't try and do it on your own. We literally make him, putting it under his authority, say, God, I need your help in this area. Now, here's what I found. We often miss that. We say, God, it's just the way it is. I just have to deal with the rest of my life. Not so. When we put it under his authority, that's when he is released to work in us and through us. Here's a couple quotes. Lord, I surrender my pain, my worries, and my doubts to you. You may be here, and what God is asking you to do this morning is to give it to him, to surrender it. Place it under his authority for him to go to work on it. Here's another quote. Pain will leave when you let go. We have to work on this whole mental concept of saying, God, I'm going to surrender it to you. And if we give it time under his lordship, pain will leave when we let it go. It's something we are a part of and God wants us involved with. So number one, you name it. Number two, you surrender it. And then number three. The third thing we have to do is this. Claim a scriptural promise over your pain. Now, we have a high view of God's word, and Pastor Jack was talking about that. We believe that the word of God has authority to change us because it's God's word. And when we have a hurt in our hurt pocket, pain pocket, and we give it to God, here's what we do. We find a scripture through the authority of his word that speaks to the hurt that we're experiencing. Let me give you some examples. Let's read Ephesians 4:26-27 in your notes. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not let the devil get a foothold. Here's what it's saying. You take the promise and say, God, I'm angry on the inside about this, this, this. I choose and I refuse to give the devil a foothold in my life. Help me deal with my anger. You camp out on it. You push back on it. You cry out for his help. And he will help deliver us as we claim the authority of his word over it. Now let's read the next one, Ephesians 4:9. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You know, we are firm believers, I think, that we are to forgive other people. We just get that. But what we often miss is if Christ wants me to forgive other people, I need to come to a place to forgive myself. And in your pain pocket this morning, you may have anger or hurt. It's not towards somebody else. It's toward yourself. And God is calling you today to let it go. You literally take a scriptural principle of forgiveness and you apply it to your own heart. It'll take some work. But the more you do it, the more freer you will become on the inside. And lastly, let's read the Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. I want to just share one simple thought out of this verse. If you are in Christ, and by that I mean you've asked him into your life and you've received his forgiveness and he's living in you, you know what this verse says? Condemnation, guilt, and shame do not belong any longer in your pain pocket. Because there's no condemnation to those in Christ. Now here's what happens. We have to go to work on that. We got to believe his word more than the shame and the guilt. And we say, God, I need you to set me free of the condemnation I'm experiencing, carrying around with me in life in my pain pocket. He says, it has set me free from the law of sin and death. So three examples of taking a promise, applying it to a specific pain pocket issue, and going to work on it. Now, in your notes, I've got listed here voices we hear. I want to share three thoughts on this. There's many different voices. I don't mean just audibly, but it's sources of information. The first is the voice of self. If you make a big mistake in life, we pretty much can beat ourselves up. We do. I blew it, Larry. You know, hey, I made a mistake. When Peter denied Jesus three times, the rooster crowed. It says he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter was saying, man, Peter, you messed it. You really messed up big time. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. It's called repentance. It changes our heart. Peter became a different man after that. But it's the voice of self. The question is, what do you tell yourself about yourself? Letter B is the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan. Here's an example. In John chapter 13, it was just before Jesus was to go to the cross. Here's what it says. Satan prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Do you realize that the enemy of our soul, Satan, can put really bad ideas into our heart and mind? We have to be on guard. He can put an idea in there about, hey, maybe it's to hurt yourself. That didn't come from God. It comes from Satan. It's a voice we have to be careful. We do not allow or accept what those kernel thoughts are. And then lastly, the voice of God. The voice of God, it's through his word. And here's what Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Now let me stop here. The voice of God through his word is the most important voice in your life. If you and I dial into that, of what God says about you, let me tell you, your life can go to a whole nother level. Which voice do we listen most to? What we say to ourselves, excuse me, what the enemy says to our soul, or do we take the word of God, apply it to our hearts of what he says about us in the many areas? But what will happen, God can deliver us from the hurts in our pain pocket if we find his scriptural truth and apply it to our hearts. I'll have Michelle put the next slide up. Let's read that together. I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. If you have a deep hurt in your life, get a hold of this verse. God says he will restore you to health and heal your woundedness if you give him the opportunity. How can he do that? When you put your pain and surrender it to his authority. All right. And finally, number four. The fourth thing that helps us how we view our present is we must reframe how you view it. I'll explain that, but let's read first Romans 12:2 in your notes. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Circle the word transformed. This is your mind. Now, Pastor Jack's been doing a class in between the services on battlefield of the mind. And there's a neuroscience data which says we can reprogram how our mind thinks about something, even what happened to us in the past. And Paul is saying, be transformed as your mind is renewed by the Word of God. Now, I'm not a computer expert, but I'm going to share a couple slides here. Here's the first one. This is a hard drive from the inside of a computer. And all that information that you put on a computer is stored on that hard drive. The operating system, your files, whatever it is. That's what a hard drive looks like. Now, here's the next slide. To the right is a circle, and they're called sectors. What is a sector? It's a small piece of the hard drive that stores information. Now, if you've been on a computer a long time, you know there's certain times where it either freezes up or you have to start over. We call it reformatting the hard drive. You literally wipe it clean to start over with the operating system and what you store on it. Now, here's my point. We have inside each of us a mental and emotional hard drive that literally records all of life's experiences. Everybody's got one. You can recall things from when you're maybe 15 or 20 years old, and you can feel the emotions of it. Some are good, some are bad. It's a mental, emotional connection to our past. Now, here's the secret. Paul is saying we need to learn to reprogram or reformat the bad information to put some new stuff in, the sectors, on the hard drive of our hearts. And so God's word literally can transform us from the inside out. Here's a quote I'll have Michelle put up. When you're stuck, redefine the problem. You got to reframe it. You got to look at it differently. You got to take a new perspective. You get into the Word of God, and the pocket of condemnation that you're carrying around, you need to reframe it. You get into the Word of God and says, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You go to work on reformatting the information on the mental, emotional hard drive, and you change it. You look at it differently. You reframe it. All right, and here's another one. Our key to transforming anything lies in our ability to reframe it. Now, let me just stop here. If you're here today and you have deep hurt in your pain pocket, whatever it is, it could be a whole bunch of stuff. Here's the secret. You got to learn to reframe it. You got to look at it differently from God's perspective, and through His grace, which is forgiveness and mercy, you go to work on retraining the thought patterns toward that particular pain or hurt. And so Paul says, hey, I want you to know something. You can be transformed as your mind is renewed. So read with me Philippians 3:10 at the bottom of your sermon listening guide. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Here's the final point. When we know Christ in the power of His resurrection, He can help us with name the pain. He can help us surrender it to God, claim a scriptural promise over it, and then finally reframe how you view it going forward. Here's the final slide, and Pastor Jack will come to lead us in the communion ritual. Just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. I want you to leave here with that thought. Whatever you've got in your pain pocket, maybe layers, just about the time when you think life is over, it became a butterfly. And that's what God's grace does for us through the death and the resurrection of Christ. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to take a few moments. Name your pain. What is it before God? I want you to surrender it. Say, God, here it is. Place it under His authority. Let God bring to mind a scriptural promise to overcome it. Or maybe you got to go look for one. They're there. And then I want you to be willing to say, God, reframe, reformat my mental and emotional hard drive in my heart that is connected to my pain pocket so that I can see things differently. And He promises to do that. Father, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ 3 weeks after Easter. Because of the message and the power that's available to us. And we thank You on this third part, or if it's 2 weeks, that you will just help us to realize that You are a power source of change for us through what Jesus did on the cross. And as we celebrate communion, help us to be mindful that when You died, You had our pain pocket in mind so that You could heal us, give us hope, and give us strength in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.